World Sport from the BBC, I'm Steve Crossman. Coming up, Manchester City's unbeaten run in the Premier League comes to an end at Chelsea.
Chelsea were 1-0 down, being hammered, and now this to go 2-1. Lampard shoots high over, caught into the roof of the net, and Chelsea have the lead in a vital game for them.
Nicolas Anelka calls time on his Chelsea career to begin a new adventure in China, and Johnny Wilkinson retires from international rugby. Manchester City have been beaten for the first time this season in the English Premier League after going down 2-1 to Chelsea at Stamford Bridge on Monday night. Mario Balotelli put the visitors ahead before Raul Morales equalised for the hosts. City then had Gael Clichy sent off just before the hour mark, before Chelsea substitute Frank Lampard scored the winner from the penalty spot. With just 9 minutes remaining, watching for the BBC at Stamford Bridge was Alan Green.
This was a huge result for Chelsea. If they'd lost, they'd have been 13 points adrift of City and unquestionably out of the race for the title. And they should have been beaten. They were comprehensively outplayed by the league leaders in the first half, especially in the first 30 minutes. City won up, it should have been 2 or 3, and it's hard to know where it went wrong for them. The unexpected equaliser, the red card for Clichy soon after half-time. Whatever, this is a bigger setback for Mancini's team than exiting the Champions League. And the question is, how will they respond against Arsenal on Sunday?
Chelsea boss Andre Villas-Boas praised his side's character for recovering from going behind.
The early goal was difficult to take, you know, because Man City, with the threat that they have, they can always get to a second pretty quick. So we did extremely well to hold on to Man City's creation in the attacking third, and the team showed competence to find the 1-1 and then to continue to have the belief. It'll always be a game decided by details. We needed to be very, very patient, and we did exactly that.
Despite defeat, Manchester City manager Roberto Mancini was impressed with his side's performance before the interval, but says his team were not clinical enough.
I think that we deserve to score 2 or 3 goals in the first half, because we did a fantastic performance. But in football, if you don't score, you can lose sometimes, and after the sending off was difficult to play. It's normal, this.
Now to what could be the final chapter in the story of one of world football's most prolific and well-travelled strikers, someone in fact who has represented both Manchester City and Chelsea, Nicolas Anelka, who started his career in his native France and has played in England, Spain and Turkey. He looks as though he'll finish his career in China. His current club Chelsea have agreed a 2-year deal with the China Super League side Shanghai Shenhua, who will make the 32-year-old their highest profile acquisition to date. Paris Saint-Germain, Arsenal, Real Madrid, Liverpool, Manchester City and Chelsea. Anelka's CV reads like a grand tour of Europe's top clubs, and wherever he's gone, he has scored goals. Money does seem to be a major factor in Anelka's decision to move to China. A reported weekly salary of $300,000 would certainly focus the mind of most people. Avram Grant, who signed Anelka for Chelsea nearly 4 years ago, is somewhat surprised.
I think it's fine, he could continue and stay here, but I think the big money was the trigger to go there. And Nicolas Anelka, since he was 21 or 19, he was looking for a better deal always. I think the first time that he wanted to come to a club without paying attention to the money, it was to Chelsea. That's what he told me, that he did a lot of mistakes in his career, and he wants to finish his career in a big club, and now he will finish his career in the Chinese club.
Arsenal's Brazilian left-back Andre Santos will be out for the next 3 months with an injury to his right ankle. Santos sustained the injury in the 3-1 Champions League defeat to Olympiakos in Greece last week. The Russian side Zenit St. Petersburg have been fined $66,000 by UEFA, but they've escaped a stadium ban after smoke from flares ignited by fans twice stopped a Champions League match at their Petrovsky Stadium. Zenit's 0-0 draw with Apoel on November 23rd was stopped for 3 minutes in the first half until thick smoke cleared, and the German referee Felix Breitsch also took the players off the field during a 7-minute second-half stoppage. Zenit are in the Champions League last 16 draw on Friday. To boxing now, and Amir Khan has told the BBC that he doesn't think there will be another world title fight in Washington, D.C. This follows his controversial defeat to local boy Lamont Peterson at the weekend. The British fighter lost his IBF and WBA light welterweight titles after being docked 2 points by the referee, and Khan says he will never fight in the American capital again. Well, the Yahoo Sports boxing columnist Kevin Ioli, who was at the fight on Saturday, told the BBC's Chris Dennis that Khan's reaction is simply a case of sour grapes.
I really think so. I went into the fight expecting Amir Khan to win. I thought he would put on a good performance. And I praised him for his willingness to fight tough guys on the road. And he talked at length before the fight about, I'm not afraid to fight on the road and blah, 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 blah. And now when it doesn't go his way, he complains. I think there were some questionable decisions by refereeing, but to make a blanket statement like he's doing, I think is entirely wrong, and I think makes him look worse. I think he should just have taken the defeat like a man, said, hey, I want to get a rematch, and then fight him again.
It was the first fight, nevertheless, for over 20 years in Washington, D.C., a world title fight, that is. Why haven't there been more world title bouts in the American capital?
It's economics. You know, Washington, D.C. does not have the kind of money for, in terms of the public, to support high-level boxing matches. You know, if you go to Las Vegas as an example, the casinos can eat a lot of the losses. Madison Square Garden, there's, you know, you're talking 20 million people in that metropolitan area can get in, so it's easy to fill a 20,000-seat arena, or easier. But, you know, you're going into D.C. and you have the super rich and super poor, and there's not a real good middle class in that area. And so boxing at the world championship level is expensive for tickets and that type of thing. And so I don't think it's anything to do with there's a poor commission, there's this. It's just the fact that it's just a poor area.
And to pick up Khan's point that fighters outside of Washington don't get a fair deal from referees, isn't the problem that actually it's the state commission who select the referees for fights rather than the governing bodies?
In the U.S., it's done by state commissions. The fight was in D.C. They have a D.C. Boxing and Wrestling Commission. So they, you know, they pick the officials for the fight. I thought the refereeing was bad. I did not think it was a very good job of officiating. That, you know, that being said, I don't think that it was because, oh, Khan is British and this is a Washington, D.C. guy he's fighting. I just think it was a bad referee job and a guy that didn't have a lot of experience at the top level.
Yahoo Sports boxing columnist Kevin Ioli with the BBC's Chris Dennis. To rugby union and England's World Cup winning fly half Johnny Wilkinson has announced his retirement from the international game. Wilkinson, whose drop goal secured victory against Australia in the final of the 2003 World Cup, won 91 caps for his country and made 6 test appearances for the British and Irish Lions. More from the BBC's Alistair Aiken.
After all the disappointments both on and off the field in New Zealand, Johnny Wilkinson's decision is not a huge surprise. He's 32, there's a new broom at Twickenham in the form of Stuart Lancaster looking to the future, and the fly half's best days are behind him. But what days they were, the magic boot that helped England scale rugby's Everest. As Clive Woodward's side reached fruition, it was Wilkinson who provided an avalanche of points over the years. The most important 3, clearly that injury time drop goal to sink Australia in Sydney in 2003 to give England their first World Cup. Time after time, Wilkinson delivered under pressure. Time after time, he bounced back from debilitating injuries to reclaim the England number 10 shirt. He's an extraordinary man with an extraordinary talent, and English rugby is much the poorer without him.
And in the NFL, the Miami Dolphins have sacked head coach Tony Sperano and named assistant Todd Bowles as his replacement on an interim basis. Sperano led the Dolphins to an AFC East title in 2008, but Miami are 4-9 this year, last in the AFC East table, with 3 games remaining in the regular season. That's it for now. Stay with us if you can for further updates throughout the day. But for now, that's the latest World Sports.